If US trends are anything to go by, the use of e-cigarettes or vaping among teenagers is on the rise. In fact, e-cigarettes are now the most commonly used tobacco product among young people in the United States, and the US Food and Drug Administration has just launched a campaign aimed at preventing them from taking up the habit. So what is the trend in Australia, and should parents be concerned? Dr. Colin Mendelsohn from the University of New South Wales joins me now. Dr. Mendelsohn, welcome.
Hi, Patricia.
What are the latest stats on teenage vaping in Australia?
Look, we don't have great records in Australia. We know that in the latest National Drug Strategy Household Survey back in 2016, 7% of 12 to 17-year-olds had tried an e-cigarette. Now, we don't know a lot more than that because most of that use is just experimental. So based on overseas experience, very small numbers will actually go on to regular use because most kids try these things, they experiment for a little while, then they stop.
Okay, so that's the last time we kind of recorded it. Things can change quickly in the world of teenagers though, can't they?
They can. And look, kids will experiment with anything that they perhaps shouldn't be, like alcohol and cannabis and so on. And that is part of growing up, and I think we have to accept that will happen anyway. But I think the important thing is that vaping is far less harmful than smoking, and it does appear that vaping, if anything, is directing kids away from smoking and distracting them from smoking. So it's actually possibly a good thing overall.
What's actually in e-cigarettes?
Well, there's four main ingredients. So there's nicotine often, although most kids don't use nicotine. There's propylene glycol and glycerin, which are used in a whole range of other products and medicinals and foods and makeup and so on. And there's food flavourings. But when you heat these products, some of them will break down into known toxic chemicals. So there are certainly some toxic chemicals, but in very small amounts in the vapour.
In the US, the offices of the startup e-cigarette manufacturer were raided by the FDA over concerns that they specifically target teenagers. Does that concern you, that they're marketing themselves around teenagers specifically?
Look, there's been a big beat-up about what's happening in the US with Juul. The offices were not raided. It was a pre-organised visit by the FDA. Juul knew they were coming. They collected documents. It was very orderly. Juul cooperated. It wasn't a raid. It's unfortunately become a very sensational headline issue. So that's not the case. Juul does admit that in the early stages, the media may have led to some targeting of young people, and they certainly are doing everything they can to avoid that. And they make it very clear that their products are not for young people. They're for established smokers who are trying to quit, and that's who they're helping.
What about the use of nicotine in the products? You said nicotine is in some of them, but teenagers not so much. Retailers are claiming that their products don't contain nicotine, and yet the packaging will often have nicotine warnings on it, even though they say there's no nicotine in it. So there seems some sort of inconsistency here, doesn't there?
Look, there is. And I think the problem there is that these products are not regulated. So we have a huge black market in Australia. Because the government said, look, these products don't exist, so we're not regulating them, we're not allowing them, we're pretending they're not even there. We have this black market now, which obviously isn't labelling according to any standards. And they're trying to hide, in some cases, the presence of nicotine. So it'll be there when you don't think it is and vice versa. I think one of the reasons we need to regulate these products is so we can label them in a helpful way.
Australia is not sort of a low regulation country. I find that surprising. Why have we been slow to regulate this?
Well, we've got this view in Australia that people should quit smoking, and that's that. It's what's known as the quit or die approach. That's the way we've always approached tobacco in Australia. The reality is we now have a second option, which is that for those people who can't quit, and there are many of them, if they switch to a safer alternative like vaping, there are huge benefits to health, and it's an effective public health alternative. And so we've kind of, all the health organisations have got together, and there's a kind of groupthink approach to vaping, that we don't want to do this. It's not something we've always done. It's different. We don't know enough. Let's wait and see. So I think that's the underlying problem.
So what advice would you give to a parent whose teenager is, you know, basically taking up this habit or interested in taking up this habit?
Look, I would say don't believe what you read in the headlines. I think you should talk to your kids about
well,
the known...
Well, if it's on the ABC News website, you generally do, don't you? Let's get a grip here.
Yeah. Well, the headlines are often misleading. They are often sensationalised. Kids experiment. They'll try drugs. They'll try cannabis, alcohol. Most of them don't use nicotine when they vape. And there's no evidence of significant harm from short-term usage. And that's what kids mostly do with vaping. They have brief experimental use, and that's all. Vaping is not for young people, and we certainly don't encourage it, but the risks appear small.
Thank you so much for your time.
That's my pleasure. Thank you.
That's Associate Professor Colin Mendelson, UNSW School of Public Health and Community Medicine is where he comes from. This is RN Drive.